thank you for the opportunity to speak on behalf of Mr. Colbert.
And do you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, sir. 10 minutes or so.
10 minutes for rebuttal?
Yes, sir. So, Judge, this is an appeal of an issue regarding honor about the person. I'm sure your honors are familiar with the appendix and the arguments and briefs. The two components that the Commonwealth failed to establish here is where and how and when the weapon was placed in the bag, and also when the bag was placed on the seat or the floorboard, as Officer Cameron was not certain. Officer Bragg, a different officer, later finds it in the seat. They have no explanation between the two of them about how the weapon got in the bag. They have no explanation about how the bag got where they found it. Yes, sir?
But as I understand your assignment is of error, by its express terms, it's only limited to whether the gun was on or about his person. It's not whether he had knowledge of the gun, whether somebody else is the person who concealed it. The sole question preserved in your assignment of error is whether in the car it was on or about his person. Is that correct?
Well, Judge, the issue that you guys allowed us to argue on merits is whether or not it was on or about his person. I did not limit that to whether when it was in the car it was on or about his person. At any time during the detention by the law enforcement,
If it was on or about his person when he was in the car when they stopped him, then that would be sufficient to support the charge, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
Assuming that.
Yes, sir.
I know you don't concede that.
We don't concede that at all, Judge, and I appreciate the distinction you're making there because if it was on or about his person, it would have been presented in the record by the evidence that was presented to the trial court. And that was not. There's an absolute dearth of evidence to determine whether or not it was on or about his person when he was in the car, because they didn't discover the weapon until after he had been removed from the car, isolated from where they later found it. So there's a gap in time and explanation. The officer was clear that he got Mr. Colbert out of the vehicle when he approached him about an extortion charge or something like that. And he says nothing about seeing a weapon or an orange grocery bag at that time. It wasn't until later when they ran a dog who originally hit on the driver's side door, for what substance we don't know, and then later hit on the grocery bag. I guess the dog was trained to identify weapons. But at all of those times, Mr. Colbert was in the back seat of the officer's cruiser, and it wasn't until then when the dog alerted on the weapon. And Officer Bragg does say, I saw the pistol butt out of the bag, which is a different issue about whether it's under concealment or not, but that's not the issue here. Whether it's on or about is limited to when the officers discovered the weapon. They had no explanation for how it got to the place where they had previously seen Mr. Colbert. For example, I just left that table, and if somebody had placed something there at that table before I returned, it might be assumed that it was mine because I was the last person sitting at the table, but that may not be the case. Judge Boughton, who I respect greatly, used the term reasonable inference. I think that's a scary term to use in a circumstance like this, where you have a person who gets out of a car at the request of an officer and is putting himself in a dilemma. And I'm not saying that he did or didn't do, but the alternative is to show the gun to the officer on the side of the road in a tense situation. I don't think that was the intent of the legislature when they incorporated the term on or about the person. The cases that the Commonwealth cites, all of them focus as a predicate upon their rationale with the term carried.
Why is the Johnson case persuasive in this matter?
The Johnson case? I'm not familiar with that, Your Honor. I'm sorry. I apologize. But the cases that I did review that the Commonwealth cited all had a predicate of their rationale that it was carried in a satchel, carried in a handbag, or carried under the...
Well, how about Leaf, which has at least been partially abrogated by statute, but is probably good for the proposition that something that could be in the console next to you could be on or about your person. How is that different than a bag next to you?
Because it was acknowledged that there was... a bag next to you. In the Leaf case, it was acknowledged that the driver knew that the weapon was there. And in the Colbert case, there's not that acknowledgement. There's no explanation for how the weapon got there.
Other than it is in fact, he acknowledges it's his gun, and it was seated. It was found in a location next to where he was sitting.
Well, it was found in a location where he had been seated previously, Judge. We have no explanation for whether it was there at the time that he was sitting in the rear passenger seat. And that's why there's an insufficiency of evidence in this case. I see my time's running out for initial, and I'm happy to continue. I've got additional time if you have specific questions.
However you want to proceed.
I'll take my seat now and wait. Thank you.
Mr. Cash. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. And please, the court, I'm Benjamin Katz, appearing on behalf of the Commonwealth. Based on counsel's argument, I suspect I should address briefly the evidence establishing the possession of the gun, and I submit that's not raised as part of the assignment of error. Moreover, there is the admission in the record that the gun is his. The circumstantial evidence adduced at trial certainly supported the reasonable inference that the bag was next to him when he was seated in the car. There was no challenge as to whether the weapon was concealed. So I submit that the issue comes before this court today with that matter resolved. And to the extent that counsel appears to be making an argument that there is a hypothesis of innocence that perhaps the gun could have appeared in the bag at some point after the removal of Mr. Colbert from the car, there's certainly no evidence supporting that hypothesis of innocence. So I would submit that that issue is adequately dealt with in the record. It is not a matter before this court, and certainly the circumstantial evidence in the record would support that it was in the bag next to Mr. Colbert the entire time. And I would submit that the evidence was that it was so connected to his person that it was readily available for use or surprise. Counsel makes the argument that the weapon is not found until he exits the vehicle, and I would submit that that's the wrong interval of time upon which to focus. The evil that sought to be avoided is whether he could have access to it during his encounter with law enforcement, and that is the distinction made in Pruitt, that during the entire encounter with the police, the doors of the car are locked, the windows are up, the weapon is in a console. There's simply no possibility that it could be available for use or surprise, and that's not the case here. And certainly the jurisprudence presents a continuum upon which you could have more access or less access depending on how you change the facts. And this case is squarely in the camp of Leith and Watson, where you have an individual who has access until they're removed from the car. And so if one were to focus on what happened after they were removed from the car, then it would be nonsensical. It would make no difference at that point. And so I submit that that interval is the relevant interval for this court's analysis. Your Honor inquired about the Johnson case. I apologize. I'm not familiar with that case either.
It's unpublished.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. With that, I'm happy to rely on my brief or answer any questions that the panel may have. If there are none, I would ask you to affirm the judgment below. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Harry?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. Slightly more than 10 minutes, I think.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And I probably won't need as much as that is. So the Commonwealth perpetually tries to focus on the idea, and they presuppose, probably making the same inferences that the officers did and that the judge at the trial court made. They presuppose that, well, because there's a gun there and because there's a person there, they must somehow or another be connected.
Well, and you're leaving out that he says, it's my gun. I mean, there is a connection between the gun and the person. There's no question there's a connection between the gun and the person, is there? I mean,
yeah, there is absolutely.
Somebody else could have put his gun there, but it is, in fact, his gun. There's no dispute of that.
Well, it is a gun that he claims ownership over, Your Honor, and I'm sure if there was any research done, they would have found valid purchase documentation to show such. But maybe by analogy, I'll get at the point a little better, and I apologize if I'm not making it very well. If it was cocaine and he didn't claim it was his, we wouldn't be having this argument. It would have been in the seat, it would have been next to him, and there would have been no argument that it can't be presupposed to be his. The fact that at a later point he identifies, that is my gun, does not exclude the reasonable possibility that he had lent the gun to someone else.
Well, I want to take your hypothesis, your hypothetical.
Yes, sir.
Let's make it cocaine.
Okay.
And let's say when the officers say, hey, we found cocaine in the car, he goes, yeah, that's my cocaine. Would that be sufficient to establish possession of the cocaine? The proximity plus that statement.
That statement alone is enough, but cocaine in possession doesn't have the on or about component, which the legislature included in the 308 statute. And I think that's what differentiates it, which is why we're here. But without that statement of ownership, if it was cocaine, we certainly wouldn't be here. But I understand and I appreciate the fact that he does say and express when the officer shows him the weapon, well, yeah, that's my weapon. But he never says, I had it on me. And he never says it was on or about my person. He never says, that was with me when you got me out of the car. And the sufficiency of the evidence, the burden is upon the Commonwealth, Your Honor, and they don't present any evidence at trial to suggest that Officer Cameron saw the weapon or even saw the orange grocery bag, which could be, you know, easily identifiable. It wasn't until Officer Bragg, with a canine and a search, saw the orange bag. I guess the canine alerted. That's what Officer Bragg testified to. And then Officer Bragg observed the butt of a handgun sticking out. And I wasn't suggesting that we're arguing here whether it was concealed or not. I agree that the only issue to be argued here today is whether it was on or about. And the evidence that was presented at trial does not suggest in any way, shape, or form that that weapon was on or about Mr. Colbert at the time the officer observed him in the car. And certainly, I think you read the cross-examination, it was certainly excluded from the realm of possibility at any time after he got out of the car. The officer testifies very clearly that he was never within arm's reach of the orange bag, that when he was in the officer's car, that Officer Cameron came back to the vehicle and retrieved the weapon. And then the officer honestly admits, I don't know how the bag got on the seat. And he was asked that question directly. So the Commonwealth's evidence shows that they went there to arrest Mr. Colbert for an extortion charge. When they observed him in the vehicle, he was identified by Ms. Kleber or Kebler or whatever her last name is, I apologize, that when the officer approached him, the officer was obviously going for a purpose and was alert to possible, I would assume, just natural self-defense instincts. He does not say that he observed a weapon. He does not say that he observed an orange bag where there could have been something concealed that would be hazardous to the officer. And the evil sought to be avoided by the government in this legislation, I don't think is that a citizen has a gun or owns a gun. I think the evil is that it's ready and available for use while it's concealed.
What is the evidence at trial as to what is going on in the car during the period of time from the time he leaves the car and goes to the officer's car?
No evidence at all, Judge. They present nothing to explain what they did with other passengers, what bag was switched from one place or the other, whether the weapon was placed or not placed. There's no evidence.
Isn't it a reasonable inference in the absence of any other evidence that the bag was there all along?
A reasonable inference? I don't believe that it is, Your Honor, because it's an item which people may not want to be associated with in the presence of officers. And with
except that you take that in conjunction with the fact that the defendant who was seated in the backseat, the appellant now who was seated in the backseat, has admitted that the gun was his.
Right, because he had no reason to hide that information. So, I mean, it's not evil for a citizen to own a firearm. What this legislation prohibits is for someone to have one ready and available while it's hidden from common observation. And when Mr. Colbert was confronted with, hey, we found a gun in the car, he said, yeah, it's my gun. That was what he told the officer. He did not testify.
Didn't express any surprise that they had found it in the car. He expected it to be right where he left it, perhaps. Is that a reasonable inference to be drawn?
I believe that's an extended inference to be drawn, Your Honor. I believe that him identifying a weapon, just as I would be able to identify any weapon I own, is different than, hey, I knew it was concealed in the car. He didn't express any acknowledgement or acquiescence to the idea that it had been concealed from the law enforcement. In fact, his honest answer to law enforcement was, it's mine. If he was trying to hide it, he could have easily said, I don't know what that is or why it was there. So I think the evil that this statute is trying to avoid is that someone gets the drop on a police officer or another citizen because they've got something concealed, easy and ready for use. And that was not the case here. There's no explanation for any of those components, and that's why it's a sufficiency argument.
If the bag was next to him.
Yes, sir.
When he was in the car, was it on or about his person? And the bag was in the same location that the officers ultimately found.
Well, I don't know, because that was never fully articulated, Your Honor. They could have said, hey, he was sitting here. It was within arm's length. They were never asked that question. They never extolled an explanation for that. My
recollection of the record is he's in the back left passenger seat.
Yes, sir.
And the bag is found from the midpoint of the car leaning towards the back left passenger seat.
I don't think that's in the record at all, Your Honor. But the officer, Cameron, said that it was either on the center floorboard or center seat. Officer Bragg said he saw it on the center seat. We don't have any explanation for how far apart that is. What other activities went on in the car? Did they get other passengers out? Did it get shoved there? Did it get placed there as people were exiting the vehicle? We have no explanation, Your Honor. And these reasonable inferences and these presumptions, I think, are what colored the fact that it was charged in the first place and what convinced Judge Boughton that, well, there's no other good explanation for this, but that's not the burden. The burden is on...
But I guess to follow up on Judge Russell's question, if we as an appellate body accept that the bag containing the firearm was in the middle seat, middle of the back seat.
Yes, sir.
Do you lose?
If the question is only on or about, but because that wasn't the issue presented to the trial court,
But that's what was granted.
Yes, sir. So, yes, if that's the only issue before Your Honors, I take that back, Your Honor. I apologize. I've overspoken here. That still doesn't establish on or about because the cases that the Commonwealth cites all are regarding personal handbags or satchels that are being carried.
How about leave? It's in the center console, which is the front seat equivalent of the center seat, I'm just giving car geography.
Right.
And Leith, this court held that a gun in the center console is on or about the person. So if I have an open orange grocery bag next to me on the back seat, if Leith is correct, then isn't that on or about my person?
I think a component of that decision was the knowledge that it was in that carrying compartment. And in this case, we have no evidence that there was knowledge. Now, I agree that that issue wasn't granted here, but about whether he knew it was there or not. But the on or about was granted here. But I think in Leaf, the facts specific to that case are that Leaf knew that it was in that compartment. Anything further? Thank you for your time. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you for your argument. We'll come down and recount.